Amen. Thank you, choir. Thank you, orchestra. Thank you, Tommy, for sharing from Psalm 46. If you're not familiar with the passage, go back and read it later. That's what it says. It's what it's about. So we would encourage you to do so. Today, we are in week 12 of our series, The Possible Kingdom, God taking the impossible and making it possible. As we prepare to look at Acts chapter 16, if you'll go ahead and turn there, I want to share something with you that I've thought about and want to just share with you the idea behind how we get started here today in Acts chapter 16. If you were to go all the way back to the book of Genesis, don't, but if you were to, you would see Adam and Eve. And you would see when they were first created that they walked sinless. There was no sin in their heart, in their mind, or in their bodies, in their lives. We would say that's perfect. But what's interesting, if you'll note, is that even in the middle of that, as you look at them walking sinless, the very first thing that God does after he creates them is he says, now, Adam and Eve, this is what you do, and this is what you don't do. Now, that's interesting. Think about it for a moment. Here they were, sinless. Our thoughts and our minds are, if we're sinless, we know what to do. No, that's not the case. Even not having sin, no shame, no guilt, no regret, nothing at this point, God immediately says to them, first thing, you do this, but do not do this. Why would God tell them that? Why would he have to tell them that if they hadn't sinned yet? Well, the answer, I believe, is found in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8. Isaiah 55, 8 says, it's God speaking. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways, declares the Lord. And as high as the heavens are above the earth, so high are my thoughts from your thoughts. Think about that. You look at the twinkling stars in the night sky. Last night, if you happened to go outside and look at the meteor shower that took place, it's been going on for a couple of weeks. It's going to go on for a couple of more weeks, but the best night to see it in our part of the country was last night after midnight. I was not up, to be quite honest. Did anybody get up and go see it? Anybody see those? Nobody? Well, we're a bunch of party poopers, I guess, when it comes to nature and science. But anyway, there was all kinds of meteors last night. But you look at those stars in the sky, just a little twinkling light so far away, and you realize that the sun is the closest star to us, and it's 93 million miles away. How far must those be? And the scripture says, God is saying that my thoughts are as high above you as those heavens are above the earth. It's amazing. So what God is telling us is this. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. He is all wise. He is sovereign. So in the midst of that, he will have to tell us things because we are not all powerful, all knowing, all wise, and all sovereign. So we need his direction. We need him to say, go this way. We need him to say, no, do not go that way. And in our lives today, we sometimes need him to just flat out give a no. And that's what happened in today's scripture. God says no, 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 over and over again in this passage until he gives a great big yes. And right in the middle of that launches an incredible miracle that you and I are reaping the benefits from 2,000 years later. So let's look together at Acts chapter 16, beginning in verse 6. It says, and they went throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia. Who are they? Let's start with that. It's Paul and Silas and possibly a few others with them. They went throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. Verse 7, and when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging them and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Verse 10, and when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Guys, there is so much to unpack in those five little verses. It's what we call the Macedonian call. That's a phrase that's used in church circles. But before we unpack it, I have to tell you, I can't read that passage and not have running through my mind one of my favorite hymns growing up, the hymn, Send the Light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Who all remembers that hymn? Well, let's sing it. Okay, let's give us a chord. Here we go. There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless wave. Send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save. Send the light, send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. Sing the next verse, here we go. We have heard the Macedonian call today. Send the light, send the light. And a golden offering at the cross we lay. Send the light, send the light. Now wait, wait, before we do, wait, hold on. Before we do that chorus, I'm not hearing it from you guys. I need those basses to give the send the light, all right? And you tenors, come on now. We're going to sing it. Let's sing it right. Do y'all need a hymn book? Would it help? You've got them. What's the number? 595. Get that. That's a blue book in front of you. You might not know what that is, but take that out. 595. There's little notes in there. They mean something. So let's try it. 595. Now, we're going to sing this over and over until we get some basses given that lower part there. So y'all need to move on with this. Here we go. Here we go, ready? And send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. I'm going to count that as an A. Great job, great job. I love that song, Send the Light. It's one of my favorites. It's got such a missions feel to it. It's joyful. It's inspiring. It has so many wonderful words to it. And it's about the Macedonian call. But what's interesting to me, as fun as that song is to sing and as joyful as it is to sing and as inspiring and challenging as it is, that song, that idea, it all starts with a no. It all starts with a no from God. Look back at verse 6 again. And they went throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. Why in the world would the Holy Spirit forbid them from sharing the gospel in Asia Minor? Why would God say no to that? Look at the next two verses. And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. Now guys, that sounds like not a big deal. It sounds like if you're in Albertville and you were going to stop and share the gospel and God says, no, don't share it here. I want you to go on down the road to Boaz. You just keep on walking and get there pretty quick. That's not the case. There's a little map we'll throw up on the board right now. You need to understand, and it's marking a spot where Troas is, but where they began their journey was way over into what we would know now as modern-day Turkey. And so God told them, no, keep going, and wouldn't let them share the gospel in multiple places along the way. It was 400 miles from where they planned to share the gospel. Not 4 miles, 400, walking on foot. Picture this, and it took them weeks and weeks of God saying, nope, not here. Nope, not here. No, not yet. Not here. That was a big detour, an incredibly big no. So what was God up to in forbidding them from sharing the gospel in those places? Well, if there's one thing that we know about the scripture that's evident all throughout the scripture, it's this phrase. If you're writing things down, God always has a plan. Amen? Amen? Listen, it's true. No matter how many times he tells you no, no matter how many no's are put up in front of your path, a blocked wall, something happens, missed opportunity, poor decision, somebody else makes a decision for you you have no control over, no matter how many no's are put your way, God always has a plan. He was not ignoring Bithynia and Phrygia. He was not ignoring Asia Minor. It was just simply the fact that there was a different time, a different person, and a different plan for someone else to share with them. It was not yet, not no. And we know that they came to know Christ. How do we know that? Because if you were to look, we don't have time right now, but 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, we'll realize that 1 Peter was written to these Asia Minor churches that God kept saying, no, don't share here, don't share here, don't share here. Someone came back and shared. Look, let me read it to you. 1 Peter 1, 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. This letter was written to believers, the churches in those places. According to the foreknowledge of God the Father, God foreknew that the church was going to be there. He foreknew that believers were going to be there. It just wasn't going to be Paul that shared with them on his second missionary journey. In the sanctification of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ, for the sprinkling with his blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. So many people came to know Christ in those regions, and churches were definitely established there. But why did the Holy Spirit tell Paul and Silas, don't stop here, go all the way to Troas? Don't share the gospel here, go all the way to Troas. Here's the answer. Here's why. Two words. These words will help you in your life. The why was this: divine strategy. It was God's divine strategy. He had a plan. Troas was a major Asian harbor. You saw the image a little earlier. It was right on the Aegean Sea. If you didn't recognize what part of the sea that was the Aegean Sea. And so Troas was an Asian harbor, and it was responsible for most of the ships that would launch across the Aegean Sea headed to Macedonia, which was part of Europe. So all of the trade routes that would go to Europe were happening that way. But the gospel had not ever gone on a ship over to Europe. No one had shared the gospel yet with them. But that was all about to change. It was about to be different from Macedonia. Look at Acts 16, verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. So, picture it in your mind. The Holy Spirit says, no, no, no. All throughout Asia Minor, 400 miles, no, no, no. So Paul could say yes to this Macedonian call vision. This is what I would remind you of today. Sometimes God's plan starts with a no. That should be pretty good news for some of you in here, because maybe you've experienced a no recently. You need to hear this. Sometimes God's plan starts with a no. Sometimes the most difficult things start with a no. The greatest miracles of God start with a no. But a no from God, here's what I found in my own life. It always leads to a better way. But I'll tell you, there's something here I don't want you to miss. If you'll notice, in the book of Acts so far, everything we've read up to this point in Acts chapter 16 has been, they did this, he or she did this, Paul or Peter, James did this. And right here in the middle of this little story, these few verses about the Macedonian call, it goes from they to we. Most people never notice it. Look at verse 10 again, and you'll see it. Look right there. Let me read it to you again. Well, actually, I didn't. Yeah, I read it earlier. Verse 10 says, and when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on into Macedonia. Right before that, he said they. Well, who's we? The author of the book of Acts is Luke. We know that Luke wrote the book of Acts, and Luke had been a bystander, watching what was happening, understanding what took place. But right here in the middle of this passage, Luke joins the mission. Luke joins the fight. Luke joins what's happening here. And so he gets to be a part of the Macedonian call. Most theologians believe that this is the point where it goes from they to we. Luke joins the journey. And so he's headed to Europe to share the gospel. A number of theologians, and at least one chubby preacher from Albertville, Alabama, thinks quite possibly, and I can't prove it scripturally, but so that's, I always want to say that when I say something, because I don't ever want to say something and you think it comes straight from scripture. This came more from my mind and a few other people's minds, but I think it's logical. I think it's quite possible that the person in the Macedonian call vision that said, come over and share the gospel with us, was Luke. I really do. I think it's very possible that he's the one that said, come. And then right here in the middle of that, Paul sees the vision, he sees Luke, and then there's Luke standing there. And so we get in the boat, and immediately they go on together and go. It was like clarification for them. I can't prove that. Whether it's right or not, I don't know. But the reality is Luke goes with them. So they're headed to Europe to share the gospel. And as they head to Europe to share the gospel, everything changes. Why was it so important that Macedonia hear the gospel as it's the gateway to Europe? Well, one of the resources I use a lot and I've shared with a lot of people is a website called gotquestions.org, G-O-T-questions.org. I've sent many of you there many times. But there, they have a good little explanation about why God told them no to Asia Minor and yes to Europe. And here's what it says. I'll read it to you. Much happened in Macedonia. Lydia was converted in Acts chapter 16, verse 14. The deliverance of a fortune-telling slave girl in Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas imprisoned in Philippi in Acts chapter 16. The conversion of the jailer and his household in Acts chapter 16. Paul's preaching in the Areopagus in Athens in Acts chapter 17. These are just a few of the highlights of the second missionary journey of Paul. Paul planted several churches in the Macedonian cities. Local bodies of believers were established in, see if you recognize these names, Philippi in Acts chapter 16. We get our book of Philippians written to them. Thessalonica in Acts chapter 17. We get our books of Thessalonians written to them. And Corinth in Acts chapter 18. And we get 1st and 2nd Corinthians written to them. These are important churches in the life of the global church. And 5 of Paul's epistles were written to these places. So I would say it's very important that Macedonia came to Christ at this point, this strategic time. Very important that the gospel was shared with them. The history of the church and the history of the world changed because the Holy Spirit said no to Asia Minor, and yes, they said yes to the Macedonian call. Think about it this way. God's no led to Europe having the gospel for the first time. And in case you forgot how big a deal that is, we Americans have the gospel because the Europeans have the gospel. Don't forget that. So it's important to understand that we're here today, and I know you start a long train of movement and thought process, but we're here today celebrating what the Lord has done. You can trace part of that back to God saying no to Asia Minor. God saying no here, no here, no here, yes here, I'll go back here soon. And he did. So God's strategy is very important in our lives. We may think we have a better way. We may think we have a better plan. I don't know about you, but there have been multiple times I thought I had a better job. You thought you had a better job opportunity. We thought we had a better circumstance. Something, whatever the case may be, we wanted something different than what happened. But God knew exactly what it needed to be. So, aren't you glad Paul was listening to the Holy Spirit? What if he would have just said, this is what we planned to do from the beginning, so this is what we're going to do. And he just stopped along the way. Who knows? Who knows what might have changed and what might be different? But if we were to stop and think, how can this apply to me? How can this apply to you? If you're writing a few things down, I'm going to give you a couple really quick. Number one, God always has a plan, and sometimes it starts with a no. Now, your no and my no look like different things. God's no for you and God's no for me from time to time look very different. It might be a job loss. It might be a relationship change. It might be that you were skipped over for a promotion. It might be some trouble in your life, whether it be physical, mental, emotional. Who knows what it might be for you? But I promise you this, at some point in your life, you will experience a no. No one escapes this life with only yeses. Sooner or later, a problem, a situation, a circumstance is coming your way that's going to alter the trajectory of your life. You were headed one direction. You wanted to keep moving this way, but either God said no or he allowed something to happen that was your no. And so you're stuck in a different moment then. So what do we do with that? We must stop and realize that God is at work. Your difficulty may be part of God's divine strategy. I've seen more than once where God said no to someone and put them in a different career or a different job or a different place where he used them mightily for the kingdom. You see, it wasn't that they weren't valuable here, it's that God wanted them to be his man or woman on the scene over here. And we see that happen in other situations as well. We see it happen in our neighborhoods, we see it happen in our community, we see it happen in our schools, we see it happen in our personal lives, in our homes. Sometimes the difficulty is just part of God's divine strategy. So Troas becomes the launching pad for Europe and the Western world to discover Jesus. And your problems, your difficulties, and your no from God becomes the launching pad for the kingdom purpose and for God's blessings. Now, the reality is we have to stop and understand we must listen to the Holy Spirit. You must listen to the Holy Spirit or we'll miss this. I love the fact that Luke obeyed the call of God and the book of Acts went from they to we in this one case here. I love that. I love that it happened so quietly on those pages. Just by obeying the call of God, listening, paying attention, it goes from they to we. How sad it would have been for Luke to watch from afar and not have gone to be a part of that. How sad it would have been. He still could have reported about it, still could have written about it, but it wouldn't be the same as being there and seeing what happened on that adventure. I got to tell you, in today's church, and if I'm being totally honest, still in this church, this very congregation, there are some people who will watch the work of God around them among his people, but they're still missing out on being part of the adventure themselves. Sometimes it's easier to watch. It's easier to watch other people worship than to worship. It's easier to watch other people serve than to serve. It's easier to watch other people give than to give. It's easier to watch other people grow than to get involved and grow. It's simple. But I want to challenge you, if that happens to be you, if you're someone who from the outside has been watching, and if you were writing the gospel account from your perspective, it'd have to be they instead of we. Listen, today it can go from they to we. Today you can say, God, I want to jump in. I want to be a part of your kingdom's plan. So how does that happen? How do we become a part of what God is doing? We do jump in, and I'll give you five or so words here really quickly to describe how to do that. The first word is pray. That's the most important thing you can do, is to begin to pray. Lord, use me. God, let me be a part. Show me how I can help. Show me how I can make a difference for your kingdom. Not just praying, God, please help so-and-so on mission. God, help me to be the one to do that. God, help me to live out the call of you. Help me to live out what I see around you. Pray. Second is to grow. Some of us are struggling to grow in our faith. Why? Because we're struggling to be around people who are growing. Just attending worship service on Sunday morning, I've said it before and I'll say it again. If you simply attend worship on Sunday morning only, we're so glad you're here. I want you to keep coming. But I promise you, you are missing out on some of the key elements, which is what happens when a small group of people gather in a room, whether they're sitting in a circle facing each other or sitting on rows facing the one who's speaking, whatever the case may be, when a small group of people gather together who know each other by name, who pray for one another, care for one another, and share thoughts about Scripture together. That is where real spiritual growth happens. And so I want to encourage you, if you're not a part of a small group, we're so glad you're here. Please keep coming, but please don't miss out on what God has for you. The best way to describe it, I've used this analogy. It's been years ago since I've used it, but I'll use it again. There was a story told of back in the 1800s that the circus train rolled into town in a small community, and they were going to have the big parade to get to where the tent was set up. And so everybody's coming down the parade route. You have the big elephant and it's coming and it's exciting and people are loving that, and you have the lion in the cage and people love that, and you have the strong man, and you have all these different things happening. Well, there's one little boy living out in the country. He's begging his parents, let him go to the circus, it's there. So his dad gives him a shiny coin and says, okay, I've worked hard for this, you take this and you go to the circus and use this to pay to get in. So that little boy grabs that coin and he runs to town. And as he gets to town, the very end of the parade is happening. They're headed in to the big top to have the circus. And he sees the parade marching by. And the very last thing is a clown with the big floppy feet coming. And so he runs out into the middle of the road and he hands that coin to the clown and says, "Thank you, this was the best thing ever." And he runs all the way home. And he missed the circus. Why'd he miss the circus? He thought the parade was the circus. Listen, friends, if you just attend worship and this is all you know about your faith, this is the parade. That sounds bad, but I mean it. The reality, when it comes to our faith, you're missing the circus. You're missing what God is up to. This is part of it as we gather corporately, and I love to gather corporately, but there's so much more to growing in Christ. Don't for a moment think that Jesus saved you. Jesus went to the cross, shed his blood for you like we talked about earlier, died, came back to life, saved you radically from your sin so you could sit in a pew. That's ridiculous. He saved you so your life could be transformed and changed. He saved you so you could live the gospel in the community and around the world. He saved you so you can give him glory, and he saved you so you could grow with other believers. So friends, I really want to encourage you. Find a Sunday school small group. Get involved, and we'll help you with that. Make a commitment to serve. We'll get to that in just a moment. So pray. Grow. Another way to jump in is to go. Find a way to go on mission. Now, that doesn't mean you have to go around the world. We have two of our members who are still in Central Asia right now, visiting with one of our missionaries, serving him there. I got a picture from them yesterday through a secure channel. They have to be careful sending things out. But it was of our church plant that our church sponsors in the city of Osh, in the middle of the Fergana Valley. I'm not going to say what country because of the radio, but that's where it was. And so this incredible, beautiful picture of all these people gathered in this room enjoying Bible study together. I got teary looking at it. It was exciting to see and to know that we get to be a part of that from around the world. Now, when those two went, they went there to go there. They had about a 35-hour flight pattern to get them there. And then to get to that city, they had a 12-hour van ride, 8 guys in a 7-passenger van. You do the math. 8 guys in a 7-passenger van, 12 hours on a dirt road over the high mountains. And they showed the pictures. I'd show them, but we don't need to because we're online, to get to where they were. Now, I'm not saying everybody has to go like that, okay? That's tough stuff. So don't think, I can't go. It's not about I can't go there, so I can't go. Listen, God may be calling you to go across the street. God may be calling you to go to the person on the assembly line next to you. God may be calling you to go to that student you're going to have, teacher, in just the next week and a half because school's about to start back. Sorry, but it's almost here. God may be calling you to go make a difference in that kid's life and his family's life. God may be calling you to some family member, to some situation. I don't know what it is, to serve locally. But here's what I would encourage you to do, to realize you cannot escape going as part of the Christian life. You will never go from they to we in your gospel account if you're not willing to go somewhere, anywhere, wherever God tells you to go. So pray, grow, go. Give. You want to jump in? Give. Listen, I have to tell you, one of the best things we can do is be faithful with our resources. It's partnering in obedience and joy with what God is up to. And if we don't, we'll miss the blessing. We'll miss being a part. Now, you may say, well, I don't have a whole lot of money. It has nothing to do with who gives the most or who gives the least. It's about all of us being a part of God's plan, God's partnership with him for making a difference for the world. The scripture is clear. It says, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy. And so you can either spend it all here or you can send it on ahead. And I encourage you to send it on ahead and invest in eternal things. And that's the truth, whether you got a little or a lot, doesn't matter. Listen, obedience for some who have little means this, and for some who have a lot, you add some zeros, okay? That's just the truth. The matter is, it's about being obedient and being joyful and responding and being part of the partnership of what God is doing. So we pray, we grow, we go, we give, and lastly, we serve. We find ways to serve King Jesus. Over and over in the scripture, we see these things happening in the life of believers, in the life of these early followers of Jesus, what we would consider the rock stars of the faith, these incredible men and women who were serving the Lord. We see over and over them praying, them growing, them going, them giving, them serving. We encourage the same for you and for me. I read recently, someone was talking about this, where it said, what if God called you to plant a church? What if God called you? Now, not me. I've been a church planter before. But I'm talking about just you right now. If God told you to start a church, and he said, now, you've never been to church because there wasn't one here. No churches in Albertville. No churches anywhere around us. And God tells you, start a church. And you say, I don't know how to start a church. Never seen one. And God says, okay, take your Bible. Read it. Read the book of Acts. Do what it says. Start a church. My question to you is, if you'd never seen a church, never been a part of a church, there were no churches around, and God said you're to start one and all you have is the Bible to start it from, what would your church look like? Now, if we're being honest, I'd have to say it might not look a whole lot like this. I love our church. I love our church. But maybe we've overcomplicated it some. I love what God's doing in the American church. There's a lot of churches making a difference around the world and around our country. Listen, and God's blessed our nation greatly, and it's because of believers who are holding fast in the midst of a lot of others around us who aren't. But I would tell you this, do we look like the church in Acts? Do we look like what we see early? Maybe we've overcomplicated it. Friends, can I encourage you? It's time to get simple again when it comes to your life and mine. So forget starting a church. How about just you living for the Lord and me living for the Lord? What would we do if we were going to be obedient to him? Let's simplify it. Let's get back to these basic things of praying, of growing, of going, giving, serving. We encourage you to be a part of those same things. Make that own decision. It'll look different for you than me. It's okay. But be a part of those things and what God is up to. Be a part of what he's doing. Now, if he's told you no in some way, you're facing a big no right now, would you simply this morning be willing to stop and say, God, I want to have my spiritual eyes open and I want to see what you're up to. What is it you're wanting to change? What divine strategy do you have for me? Where do you need me? What can I do for your kingdom? And then respond willingly with a yes. Would you bow with me with our heads bowed and eyes closed for just a moment? A little privacy. If that's you and maybe you just needed to you've been facing some no's in your life and you weren't quite sure what to do with them, well, I encourage you right now to know what to do with it, to see it as an opportunity for the miracle of God to come, to see it as an opportunity for divine strategy to take place in your life and God to set you up to live for him, to make a difference for him. But you got to be listening to the Holy Spirit. Father, my prayer is that every person in this room would, first of all, say yes to you, say yes to your spirit, that we would commit to listen to what you have for us from your word, what you're saying to us. Father, my prayer is that if there's somebody in here facing a big no in their life, and maybe it seems like you're saying no, no, no over and over in their life, my prayer is that you would encourage them with a moment of truth, an ability to see ahead a little bit, that you are at work, that you are up to something, that you do have a plan for them, for your kingdom's purpose. Lord, reveal that to them, please, I ask. Father, for others here, that maybe it's time they say yes to you. Just like Paul said yes to the Macedonian call, it's time they say yes to you and give their life to you. Lord, for others, maybe you're calling them to unite with our faith family, to join us corporately as together we seek to pray, to grow, to go, to give, to serve. Lord, that you'll allow us to do that. We know we're better together. So maybe you're calling someone to come and unite here. I pray they'd respond to you if that's your calling. Father, if someone needs to just get on their knees before you and do business with you, I pray they would do that and feel willing and able to do that in this place today. Lord, have your way among us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing a song.